Report. Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Trump's last check-in as president coming up. But first, let's talk to a guy who served as special agent in charge of the Clinton Protective Division. This is Joe Russo, Executive Vice President of Safety and Security for TNM USA LLC. Thank you for your service to the country. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So you have 50 to 60 people in D.C. today?
We do. TNM, we employ some off-duty retired law enforcement down in Washington, D.C. We have a small office down there, and we predominantly are out there today covering our media clients.
Media clients. Okay, so you're hired privately to handle that. So media clients, that would be protecting television people from potentially unruly crowds?
Yeah, so we escort the correspondents and production crew in the field when they go out to gather the news stories out and around the Capitol. Of course, in this particular case, it'll be a little further away.
Right. How do you feel about how today is going to go?
You know, from a personal perspective, I think it's an exciting day for all of us, and hopefully the beginning of, you know, the healing process for the country. But from a security perspective, I think, look, the Secret Service has the lead on this because it's been designated as a national special security event, what's known as an NSSE. And anything that's designated NSSE, the Secret Service takes the lead. So as long as the Secret Service is the lead agency and collaborating with all of the federal, state, local law enforcement agencies, intelligence gathering, you can bet that it'll go off safely and securely.
You were the special agent in charge of the Clinton Protective Division. Were you in charge of his second inauguration?
No. I was in charge of President Clinton's Secret Service detail as the former president from 2002 to 2004.
Gotcha.
However, I was assigned to Vice President Gore during the 92 campaign and then through the election and inauguration. So I was an advance agent, actually, for the inauguration in 1993, if you can believe it.
Wow. And how do you what were you, two then?
Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
No one's a baby.
It's been a long time, but you know, it was your traditional inauguration. So even though it's months and months of planning, you know, it's the same venues, the same parade route. Obviously, the Capitol swearing in is always the same. And so my job those days, actually, I had the first morning site, which is the church, which again, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris will be attending this morning. And then I had one of the last inaugural balls because, you know, there was probably about 10 to 12 that year.
So many.
And so that was about a 22-hour day, if I can remember. Yeah, it was definitely a young man's job.
How do you prepare for something like that? What are you guys looking
healthy breakfast,
at?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you know, the Secret Service is exactly that. It's known for its preparation and advance work. And you know, so that is the most important piece of any protection assignment site. And in those days, and even now, especially now, you know, you have the assets and the resources and the manpower, not only from the Secret Service, but again, collaborating with all the other law enforcement entities in Washington, D.C.
Do you run different scenarios? Like Napoleon would run every different possible scenario. So if that started to unfold, he could make a quick decision. Huh. Do you guys hire people to people that you respect and say, if you were going to do it, what would you do?
Right.
Right. And do you run different scenarios?
Sure. You mean in the private sector or in the Secret Service?
In the Secret Service.
Sure. So, you know, in the Secret Service, you're trained, you know, to handle whatever scenario may occur. And when you're conducting in advance, you're taking into account all of the possible threats and you're using the most recent intelligence and information that you have gathered to make those decisions. And so, you know, like something like you saw with the Capitol, you know, what's coming out now is obviously they had some intelligence, but, you know, because of the red tape and other issues down there, they didn't request the needed assets. Of course, nobody saw a complete siege on the Capitol coming.
But did you scratch your head on that one when you saw what happened? Did you think, man, they were so underprepared?
Yeah, I think we all did because, listen, I was in the Capitol many times with Vice President Gore back in the 90s, and that place is so secure. But like anything else down in Washington, you know, it's kind of a facade because, truthfully, if somebody who has bad intentions and the numbers that they had there certainly could cause some damage. Did anybody expect them to breach the interior of the Capitol? Of course not. And I think, you know, but by the time they realized what was happening, it was a bit too late and certainly put the rank and file in really bad position.
We have former Secret Service agent Joe Russo on. He's the Executive Vice President of Safety and Security for TNM USA, and they have 50 to 60 people in Washington. When you were doing work for the Secret Service and presidential parades and whatnot, that's an inauguration moment where the president gets out of the car. Is that Secret Service's biggest nightmare?
You know, it used to be during the days when the crowds were huge. You know, you didn't necessarily feel comfortable that you had all the high ground covered. But over the years, obviously, you know, with all of the support we get locally down there, and of course, the Secret Service assets themselves, you know, you were always concerned about the fact that they would get out of the armored vehicles. That was your only cover at the time. But you knew it was coming and you prepared for it, as did all of your counterparts. So, you know, you really weren't nervous about it. Again, anytime the visit actually happens, whether it's the inauguration or any presidential, vice presidential visit around the country, around the world, for that matter, on the day of the visit, you really sit back and feel like, you know, I've covered everything. We've covered everything. We've got everything under control.
Really?
And you have to be comfortable feeling that because, you know, that's what it's all about for us.
Wow. Because we've seen you guys and girls in action so often.
Yeah.
Like at an event and you're, you know, at various locations, some with glasses and your little earpieces and stuff. When they're looking into the crowds, they're just looking for people who don't look friendly, what are they looking for?
Yeah, so we call that the rope line, and I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
When the protectee is actually up there hand-to-hand, shaking hands and greeting people. I'll be honest with you, I don't think you're going to see much of that anymore.
Right.
Certainly they'll restrict the president and vice president from doing those as much as possible. But basically you're trained and you have a team of people who are on that line, usually four or five, six people. And, you know, you're working as a team, observing the crowd. You also have people in the crowds just in case something does occur in there. You have somebody in there. And you're exactly that. You're looking for suspicious behavior, somebody who might be agitated, somebody who might be overdressed for the occasion. You're looking at their hands, what they have in their hands, where their hands are located. All those things you're processing very quickly as you move along. And you're all on the same page, even though you're really not communicating at that point. Now, if there is something that's going on out there, you certainly will communicate it, whoever sees it. And of course, worst case scenario, if there's a weapon or a gun observed, that will be yelled out.
George W. Bush's visit to Ground Zero, were you a part of that? And how scary was that for a Secret Service?
You know, I was part of that. Unfortunately, I was in the Secret Service office in New York, which was in 7 World Trade Center. It was the largest Secret Service office in the country. And my job at that time was the assistant to the special agent in charge for the protection squad. So we were actually preparing for the United Nations General Assembly, which was going to occur the following week, the annual event where, you know, you get 180 heads of state into New York. We were responsible for that.
Nice.
And of course, we got a bit sidetracked. And our office collapsed at 5 o'clock that night. Three days later, we had to be prepared for the president's visit to Ground Zero, which, by the way, was designated as an NSSC, National Special Security Event. Secret Service was the lead agency on, and I was the New York field office coordinator for that. So besides dealing with everything we just dealt with 3 days before, we were able to secure the visit for the president, who landed at the Wall Street landing zone in his helicopters, and we motivated him obviously over to the Ground Zero area. Very surreal day. It's still burnt into my memory as being something that was almost like a dream or a nightmare. And that was a heck of a long day, but we were very proud that not only we were able to pull that off, but our young agents who had experienced terror 3 days prior to that stood tall that day for the president of the United States.
How close were you when the president was on the pile and he grabbed that megaphone and made that off-the-cuff speech?
Yeah, I was actually just maybe a few feet away. You know, I'm not part of the president's detail, but I'm part of the supervisory group that arranged that visit. So just a few feet away. Yeah, that was something to behold.
Unreal. You know, I remember seeing a moment where then President Clinton drove a car for the first time. It was a Mustang convertible.
Oh yeah, because he used to have one. Yeah,
and in the it was his car.
Yeah.
And he drove it on a airport runway or whatever. And in the passenger seat was a guy, Secret Service, with the exact same hair as him. And I thought, this has to be.
You didn't check first?
You put someone next to him with this same color hair and hopefully if something bad happens and you don't catch it,
they get the wrong guy. The wrong guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you should say that because that was strictly a coincidence. That was David Carpenter. He was the president's special agent in charge at that time. And Dave did look a lot like the president, did have the same type of hair as the president. We often joked about that. But, David went on to become the global director of security for PepsiCo up in Purchase and was there for many, many years before retiring again, five, six, 10 years ago. So, yeah, we all did used to joke about the fact that, you know, Dave, you're really a target because you've got the same hairstyle.
I thought it was a calculated move. Look at that.
They should have done that mirror thing that Lucy did with Harpo Marx.
So, Joe Russo.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't think Dave was thrilled with the president behind the wheel. I think he was more concerned about the danger of him driving than
anybody. That's right. Like he hadn't driven
in
since
a long
college
time, right.
Or high school or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
The other thing about protecting President Clinton was I remember right after the news broke of an affair, him and Hillary are walking across the White House lawn to a helicopter, and the president has a bruise under his eye. And it later came out that potentially, maybe, Hillary threw an ashtray at him.
Wow.
And hit him. Is the president protected inside the White House from people?
Yeah, do you take her down?
Maybe his wife.
Right, do you take her down?
Right, if there's a Secret Service agent outside their living quarters and you hear that, do you have to rush in? How does that work?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, as you mentioned, the president and first lady are obviously protected inside the White House. And the only space they really have any privacy is up in the residence side. So, you know, you may or may not even hear something like that in there. But, yeah, I mean, if that actually happened, again, I wasn't on his detail then, so I can't speak firsthand about that. But, yeah, certainly if that happened and there was reason of concern, the agent on post outside of the residence would have responded.
Yeah, when you hear ping, oh!
Somebody in the
what do we do? I don't know.
Said,
I don't know. We'll choose
that
out.
Mark under the president's eye?
Right. In the shape of a fist, actually. I noticed.
Yeah, Joe Russo's on, served as special agent in charge of the Clinton Protective Division. Where does the Secret Service recruit from? Navy SEALs, former military? How does that work?
And the paper?
You know, it's a great question. So when I joined the Secret Service back in the 80s, and I hate to date myself, but predominantly former law enforcement. I was a police officer in the city of New Rochelle. I joined with many, many folks who had the same background. And then as the Secret Service evolved, especially on their investigative responsibilities and financial crimes, you know, initially we were really responsible for counterfeit money. That's why the Secret Service was created in 1865, was to combat counterfeit currency, which was running rampant post-Civil War. And so President Lincoln, ironically, one of the last bills he signed into effect was the creation of the Secret Service. So as investigations evolved,
that is ironic,
crimes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
could use it.
And actually, the history is that it was on the day that he was assassinated that the Secret Service came into existence. Again, not responsible to protect the president, but to combat counterfeit currency.
Yeah.
It wasn't until 1901, you know, 36 years later, after McKinley was assassinated, that the Secret Service was designated as a part-time protector of the president. So it's evolved. But to answer your question, as the Secret Service investigations responsibilities evolved into the 1980s and 90s, much like most of the federal agencies, we started to recruit from a diverse group of people, you know, accountants, lawyers, you know, didn't necessarily have to be people who had law enforcement background. And actually, it came to a time when they really weren't recruiting former law enforcement. And then back, I would say, probably before I got out, early 2000s, but even later after the Gulf War, they really made it a point to try to attempt to recruit many military folks. And so as I was retiring back in 04, a lot of the new agents at that time were recruited from the military. But they try to keep it as diverse as possible because obviously you need talented people in all fields.
Right. If I'm the president, the crew around me, I want them to be former Navy SEALs, not
exactly
accountants.
Right. Ninjas, everything.
Give the accounts to the First Lady.
Right, right. I want Steven Seagal. I want everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's interesting you should say that because, you know, certainly military background, special forces is something that certainly adds to it. But, you know, the training that the Secret Service gives you, you know, that's why they can recruit from all fields because of the intense training. Everybody's on the same page.
Right. And probably sometimes it's better to start with a clean slate than someone who thinks they know everything.
Right.
That's true.
That Beast, have you ever been in that?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we've been in the Beast, and the vice president's limo was a little different in those days, but we used to call it the mini Beast.
The Beast. Mini Beast.
Beast 2.
It's like the minivan.
Right, exactly right. Yeah. The Yugo.
And what can you tell us about that we haven't read in the, or heard about? I think it's not even a car, is it?
The limo?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you retire from the Secret Service, they remove the chip from your head, so I don't have a lot of information.
Good answer. Joe, we can't thank you enough, one, for being a police officer, but also serving the country. You know, things don't work right if we have chaos, and you guys do a good job at keeping that down to a minimum. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and good luck the rest of the day, and it should be an exciting and hopefully uneventful day.
Yes, I agree.
See what happens.
Joe Russo, Executive Vice President of Safety and Security for TNM USA. We're linked up at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.